Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, and I'm coming to you from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia through the facilities of People's Internet Radio. We are a viewer-funded station, guys, so if you like what we're doing, please hit the donate button. I know people here at the station would really appreciate that and help get the word out. I'm joined by Roger Landry, a gentleman I commonly refer to as the Duracell Bunny, for the first hour here. And, like, we're going to get into conversation a little bit about some of the chaotic crap we see going on in the United States of America right now. And to say it's chaotic would be, I believe, a major understatement. Rogers, welcome to the show, and it's good to have you back. Like I said, this is, I think, our first conversation or our second.
Let me see. Total conversation since you and I have met. I don't have enough digits on my body.
Yeah, we've been talking now for about 5 years, Roger, and I always look forward to chats with you. But let's get right into the meat.
I'm sorry. Seems like some every time I get
see going on.
What's that?
So let's get right into the meat of some of the craziness we see going on, buddy.
Well, the big thing is that, you know, we live in a world that could probably better be described as a three-ring circus. Okay, everything you see going on around you today, a lot of it's real, but a lot of it is, in fact, a circus. Okay, it is meant to attract your attention. It is meant to focus your attention. It is meant to get you angry in a specific fashion and in a specific direction. This is what we're seeing. I need to explain to everybody out there that the only reason that the Kavanaugh issue went as far as it did and as high as it did and as hard as it did was because it was choreographed to do exactly that. What's happening behind the scene? What are we seeing? We're seeing a massive buildup. We're seeing the Chinese saying, we're going to make the biggest show of military force in the South China Sea that we've ever made. What did America say it's going to do? It's getting together with its, its allies from Australia, from Japan, from the Philippines, so on and so forth, and they're going to make the biggest show of military force ever seen by humanity in the South China Sea. What else is going on? We see a 1,000-point dip. 1,000 points, okay?
In the stocks, yeah.
In the stock market, all right? What's going to happen on Monday is going to scream volumes, all right? So what are we looking at? We're looking at the Kavanaugh issue. We're looking at the Dems in meltdown. We're looking at the most entertaining period in the history of America. You can't write books like this. They won't be as exciting. They won't have stocks. Go ahead.
I got my popcorn, buddy. I'm ready to go. You're right, Roger. I'll let you go for a minute, and then I got out of thought. Go ahead, buddy.
The thing of it is, we're looking at what is constant theater. Now, is this real? Yes, it is. And the thing of it is, when you run a planet, when you have control over countless trillions of dollars and mechanisms within the machination of governance across the planet, and by mechanisms, I mean people who were supposedly elected to serve those people. When you have all of this in place, you and I have had the discussion, you can't turn a society, you can't do it with a 90-degree turn. Just like you can't do that to an aircraft carrier, you can't do it to a cruise ship. It won't work. You've got to turn it slowly. So how do you do an emergency turn with a society? You either use issues that aren't real, but you want everybody to believe they're real, like false flags, or you know for a fact that there's a lot of millennials out there that if you offer them a few bucks, will go out into the streets and commit hell and mayhem. And so
exactly.
What you start doing is you create one crisis after another. You go after the senators who are coming out of a restaurant. You go after the congressmen who are walking out of their freaking car up to their house. You go up to their wives, their children, their parents, and anybody who's ever been associated with them. And you wreak freaking havoc. Why? Because that's exactly what's going to piss off the Republican base. It's going to piss us off. I told you on our last conversation that we are closer to a civil war in this country than we have been since the last one.
Yeah, I remember our conversation very well, Roger, and I've watched events unfold here in the last couple, 3 weeks that have just absolutely boggled my mind. There is a crisis coming in America, and really the question, I guess, today would be, where is it all going to go? Because I know and you know, sir, that this is going to come to a head, that there's just too much out of the box right now for the lid to be put back on the box. It's where the box is going and what the end game is and how it's all going to be played out. I see what's going on with Antifa right now. I hear what's going on with George Soros and his funding of operations, how much money he's putting in. I look at all the militant groups right now in the United States of America, I believe, are just waiting for the word go.
They don't want them to win.
No, but I could see, you know, a state of martial law being a real possibility in the United States in the very, very next short period of time, myself.
Well, if, and there is a good chance it could, but a better chance it won't, because once Trump got into office, those who were in power realized they could get another 8 years of huge wealth increase by not collapsing the economy. Anybody who believes that the global, I don't know, structure, monetary structure is sound, you're an idiot, or you have been sleeping for so long, it's insane. We are in the biggest fiat money bubble this planet has ever conceived of, never mind seen. Okay? This is stocks, this is bonds, this is the actual value of money. It is so overrated right now that this is inevitable. They had intended to do it on Hillary's watch. Mm-hmm. This is why they wanted Hillary in there. Because what you've got is a super progressive, and once the whole freaking planet goes to its knees, starting with the United States, okay, once they go to their knees, then you've got global governance who sticks their hand out and says, we have the answer and this is all you have to do. Mm-hmm. So for anybody who believes that we've escaped that, the only way to escape that is to do a total reset on every fiat monetary system on the planet. And there's what? Two countries left, maybe one on the entire planet out of 194 countries that don't have a central bank?
Yep. You know and I know, Roger, all it would take in society is the collapse of the dollar to create chaos. In 48 hours, you could see society turn completely upside down. And if you control the money, which they do, you can have your finger on that button and you can do that at your whim. And that, we talked about this many, many times. The ripple down effect in society.
Right. You know, that's not the end game. The end game goes a little bit deeper. It's a mechanism
to bring the end game, right? You know, and I know when the human brain is subjected to chaos, that human brain will do just about anything to get rid of the screen. And problem, reaction, solution, when they do collapse the dollar, of course, you know, and I know, along comes the one world government, one world currency, mandated RFID chips, which we see going on at a very accelerated rate. Basically it's going to be come to a point where that if you don't abide, then you're not going to be able to function in society. And I can see that come very, very shortly. Because they are going to collapse it, Roger. It's been designed to be collapsed. It's just when.
Again, absolutely right. But again, the mechanism, people are saying, okay, so the economy collapses. How is that really going to, you know, bring on this much change, this much desperate need? Let me explain something to everybody out there. Civilized people are mainly civilized because they have what they need when they need it. Their families don't lack for things. They have the food they need. They have transportation. They have education. Even the poorest amongst us has that available to them. You collapse the economy. Now you start to remove those from a civilized society. The period of time between a civilized society and a collapsed society, it accelerates every day it goes along. But what happens then? Now all of a sudden, I need what you have because I have to take care of my family. And you know what? You have it. If it's us or you, I'm going after you. I'm talking on a national level now. I'm talking about globally. You are going to see a remaneuvering, okay, of military strengths across this planet. You are going to see wars breaking out. You think we've got a lot of brush wars now? Nothing. Comp- compared to what happens once the economy or the global economy collapses. Now, once these wars start up and people start killing each other off in the tens of, or if not the hundreds of millions, and before you think that's an exaggeration, there's 7.5 billion of us. All right. So when you see hundreds of millions of people dying across the planet, this is exactly what those who they think are the elites want. Let's go back to the Georgia Guidestones, where it states, chiseled in granite for infinite posterity, okay, keep the global population under 500,000 in harmony with nature.
500,000 or 500 million, Roger?
500 million, my mistake.
Okay, yeah, okay.
No, you're absolutely right. I get a little passionate sometimes and I spit out the wrong words, but I appreciate that. The point here is, what you're looking at is a scenario that has been planned on for a very, very long time. And what we were supposed to have with Clinton, okay, was the harbinger of all of this. She was going to open the door and things were going to come in. Where was the economy when Bubba stepped out? Obama. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. It was on its last leg. It was limping along. Let me explain something to you. The people who run the planet have all the money they need. They could have totally sabotaged what Trump is doing to the U.S. economy, which is huge. Okay, they could have totally sabotaged it. But they realized the way this guy thinks, we've got 8 more years here to suck a lot of more money out of the average person's wallet. And again, you're saying, Rothschilds don't take no money from me. They don't even know me. Your taxes, the things you buy, the tariffs we pay, all of this crap. How much of that do you think go to the Rothschilds, who have an estimated value as high as 150, not billion, $150 trillion, the Rothschilds. Okay. You asked for this, Barry. You know what I'm like.
Hey, Roger, carry on. I just got one comment in chat here that Steve is saying that science theorizes that 17 days after a major economic collapse, people will turn to cannibalism. And when you say that to people, they go, yeah, right. You know what? That's within the realms of possibility. Like
He's
you said, Roger.
Really right.
Well, Roger, when people are hungry, people will go to extremes. When you have got children screaming because their guts are killing them because they got no food, you will go to extremes. And it's amazing how far the human being will go when it's put into that kind of situation. We've never been there, so we don't know, but we know about what reports say. Go ahead.
Everybody that's saying what this intelligent gentleman was a great comment, a great comment, okay, just put there. Everybody who puts any doubt in that whatsoever is because, as I explained, they're living in a civilized society. Even the worst of us have it better than most that are considered average in Africa, okay? We live in that society. They haven't taken those things away from us yet. But he's absolutely right. 17 days, I would give it 3 weeks. Okay, and you will see society breaking down. But I also stated that from day one, every day it goes further, which also jumps onto what he said, every day it goes further, it increases at an exponential rate. In other words, life in the United States on day 21 ain't a freaking thing like life in the United States on day zero.
Absolutely, Roger. You do have food put away, and your neighbors know you have food put away. They'll kill you for it. They'll kill you for a loaf of bread.
And if the government steps in.
You say that to people, they go, no way, but yeah. Go ahead.
Hold on. If the government steps in, okay, and states, yes, at that point there has to be martial law. Even I state it has to be martial law. Otherwise, we will have bloody chaos in this country. And there's, over about 500 million guns in private hands in this country, more than any place on the planet. So, yeah, okay. But if the government steps in and says, we need help because the world is going to attack us, or we need help because, and it has to do with projecting power, all right? They will step in and take care of you and your family. This is the initial foray of the global government sticking its hand out and saying, you come and play our game, and we'll make it all better for you. And anybody who doesn't think that that's going to happen, that has been in the planning for over two centuries.
I agree, Roger. It's going to be our way or the highway, and people aren't going to have a choice.
And because we're not going to let it happen.
We can't let that happen, because if it gets to that point, then we've lost, and there will be no turning back. And I really hope that we don't see that happen, Roger, but we know that it's a real possibility, and that's why we're having this conversation today. Sure, it sounds a little far-fetched, but really, it's not. And I see it all being set up right now, buddy. I really do. It's what I've seen go on here just in the last couple of years just is astounding me. And this charade in the States that just went on with Kavanaugh, what a travesty that your society has gotten to that point. Whatever happened to assumption of innocence? This guy was absolutely lambasted. And the good thing about it, I think you're going to see a lot of these people that were involved with this lambasting have serious repercussions.
Our society. Look, we didn't elect Trudeau, so you ain't got nothing to say.
Don't even talk. Okay, I'm going to talk Trudeau the next hour, Roger. I'm not going to get into him this hour, okay?
That's all good. That's all good. I just had to say that little
spot. You know how to get my blood pressure going.
What all of this boils down to at this point in time is let's run a real quick scorecard here, okay? Let's take a tally. Let's take a tally of the toll we're all taking. And what is that? We are right now closer to a nuclear war on this planet than we have ever been, and this is coming from the experts, not me, ever been in the history of humanity, mm-hmm. Okay? Since the advent of the nuclear bomb, right now. So that's number one. Number two, due to GMO proliferation and its component, geoengineering, the biosphere, we're being told right now by scientists across the planet who are pressing the panic button, stating that the interference from genetically modified or genetically engineered plants or animals is or may be at the point, the tipping point, where it will destroy the biosphere. All right. Mm-hmm. No biosphere, no humanity. So that's war. That's biosphere. Number three, okay, we are watching the increase in infertility across the planet at a rate that is absolutely unexplainable, all right? I told you in several shows I've done that in 2014, 4 years ago, there was a 314,000 birth deficit in the United States. But we are the most GMO'd, the most vaccinated, the most, and that's another whole show. Okay, so our health, this planet is the most chronically ill it has ever been in its history. Okay? And the monetary system has been so abused that it is about to not implode, explode. So we are looking at four, five, I could probably go to six of the major catastrophes that could have the most impact on humanity all sitting on a freaking sheer cliff and somebody standing right behind it saying,
push.
Should I push? Not one. We're talking about warfare. We're talking about health. We're talking about economy. This is a clean freaking sweep. If there was ever a point in humanity's history when anybody paying attention should be really, really upset and attempting to do something, I would say this might be that time.
I say shame on you if you don't, because there's just too much in our face right now to deny it. And I say to people, Roger, I mean, look what's coming for our children right now. I mean, you talked on three or four issues that literally could end life on this planet. Yet, you know, all these things have been brought into our society, what, in the last 100 years, maybe, since the proliferation of the Industrial Revolution, we come along chemicals and cotton and oil and nuclear power and all these great things for society. And yet now we are literally looking at extinguishing life on this planet. And I don't say that lightly, and I defy somebody to argue that point with me. And I base that on stuff I look at every day about the die-off of mass species on this planet, what's going on in our oceans, take Florida for an example. Florida, South Florida now is an example of what the rest of us are going to see. Look at the ash that just went into the ocean from Francis, man. Unbelievable levels of coal ash and arsenic and mercury and lead went into the ocean. Fukushima right now is an ongoing disaster. Fukushima has no answer.
Actually getting worse.
It's getting worse by the day. And I say to people, you haven't heard the beginning of Fukushima yet. People
say it's unbelievable, Roger. Pacific Ocean. I could give you that's another whole horror story all by itself. Oh,
it is, but it's just an example of the multiples that are threatening mankind right now. And if people can't get away to this, Roger, I say to people, you must, you know, have we really lost our hearts that much that we can't see all this stuff coming and that we can't say, hey, do we want this crap for our children?
Do you know what this is?
We can turn it all around, Robin, or Roger, but it's going to take a mass awakening of the human race and a massive input. And
you know what this is?
I just don't know why it ain't happening, buddy.
Do you know what this is? This is a testing point. If anybody out there believes in God, and let me define God, okay? God would be a supreme being. God would be a, the entire universe itself, whatever. As long as you consider there to be a superior power, all right? So if you consider all of these things that are happening right now, just stop and consider this, Barry, okay? All of this is focused at one point in time. That's really freaking weird. When we can say we're watching the biosphere collapse, when we can say we're watching our health collapse, when we can say, and I could go on and on, all at one point in time, you reached a focal point. Now, we as a society have come a long way in several thousand years when they were chiseling stones out to build rough huts. We've come a long freaking way, and we could get into side stories on that much too, but we won't. Here we are. We're sitting at a crossroads. This is a testing point. Will humanity have a future or not? As you stated quite eloquently, we're staring down the barrel of at least five that I mentioned, and there are more. Believe me, there are more possible extinction scenarios. All present and accounted for. Now, let me give you a small piece of something and show you how well this is hidden. Remember, there's 1,000 pieces in all of these things. They all have, like, you know, many components, all right? Let's take one component. Everybody out there, there's going to be some amongst you, especially listening to Barry's show, who don't think vaccines are a good thing. But take a poll, okay? The poll will tell you that there are a lot of people on this planet that have absolutely been lied to, and they believe that vaccines are great things. All right. The CDC tells us there's 30,000, okay, intense or serious vaccine reactions, bad reactions each year. Of that, they tell us only 1 to 10% are probably reported, okay? That means not 30,000, not 300,000, 3 million cases a year, of which anywhere from 20% or more can be considered deadly. Let's say we've got a couple million deaths a year that can actually be attributed to vaccines. Let's take that over the last 100 years that vaccines have knowingly been given in the United States. Now let's take that across the entire planet over the last century. And what you will find out is that in reality, and this is scientifically proven by their own numbers, vaccines could easily be responsible for more deaths, more human death and suffering than any mechanism ever developed in the history of mankind. Not a joke. I've written about it. Ask Barry. I've written dozens of articles in depth on this subject.
Boy, it's hard. It's really hard not to get sidetracked on our shows, Roger, because there's so many different directions we can go to in when we get into our conversation.
There's hundreds of modules. That's what I was saying.
Well, yeah, it's a million little pieces of a big puzzle. Yeah. Well, not a million, but it's multiple pieces. And you know what? The pieces don't represent a lot when they're all by themselves. But when
Barry,
you start
you
putting them together, you start seeing the picture, buddy.
you don't go into a war with a pistol. We've had this conversation before. Do you go into a war with a pistol, a rifle, a machine gun, a battleship, an aircraft carrier, fighters, bombers? You go into a war with a massive amount of weapons that guarantee you if one doesn't work, another one will. If you don't think there isn't war against we the people, the eaters, the bottom feeders, the bottom 99%, if you don't think this is a war, then you're going to be one of the people I'm going to be shedding tears over as I walk by your corpse.
Well, it doesn't take much to realize that, Rogers, that you got to get away from watching TV at night and listening to what the mainstream media is telling you. And, of course, we're seeing a major shift now in people getting away from mainstream. And, of course,
we can change this.
We can change it. But it's really, some days I ask myself, Roger, really, what has happened to the heart? What's happened to the testicles on men? Where have men gone? Okay, where have they gone? You know, we see right now so many things that are directly going to affect our children and our future. And yet all they want to do is watch the hockey game, drink their beer, and talk about who's leading the scoring the next morning in the coffee shop. And yet I see my country being destroyed. I see this with gentlemen all the time. And, you know, of course I'm going to get kickback from a lot of people in my community because of the way I talk and what I talk about. But the good news is, Roger, a lot of people now are starting to pay attention. And I see a mass awakening, buddy. I do. Go ahead.
You hit the nail right on the head again. Okay, we're talking about a generation, okay, and we're talking about basically millennials at this point. They come, you know, a generation or so after us baby boomers. This is the most spoiled generation on the planet. This is the crying puppy rooms in the colleges and so on and so forth, okay? This is that generation. And if you can't, all right, if you can't approach me in a fashion that I don't feel threatened by, then don't approach me at all. But you and I also talked about what happens when we see a generation like that, because I was born in a generation like that, okay? We saw our parents as being crazy, so we rebelled. And we rebelled, believe it or not, towards the liberal side. And we flash forward a couple of generations and we see this all coming round full circle, only this time that new generation is conservative.
We see the tide rising, Roger.
It is conservative. The kids today I just go online, okay, and look at all the stories about kids, you know, getting kicked out of school for wearing a MAGA hat. Or kids on the playground, you know, that are ending up by going home because they cocked their fingers like a gun, you know, and parents are standing up for their children. There is a conservative generation. Right now, parents don't understand their kids. Gee, when did they ever? But the point is they can't understand why their kids are so conservative, because their kids are looking at what's going on around them, the chaos, but they're looking at it through their parents' eyes. It's like looking into their parents' eyes and looking into a mirror into their soul. They can tell their parents are uneasy. They can tell their parents are unsettled. They can. Every kid can. And we are seeing a revolt in this country by the younger generation, and it is screaming towards the conservative side.
Well, just look what's going on in my country right now. Roger, Quebec has been liberal. Controlled provincially for the last 37 years, there has never been a conservative provincial government in Quebec. Well, guess who just got kicked out of Quebec? Guess who just got kicked out of Ontario? Guess who's going to get kicked out of Alberta and Manitoba and Saskatchewan? We're seeing a wave go across the country. I'm watching, of course, you know, I'm watching what's going on in politics right now. You know, we've had a third party come to light here called the People's Party of Canada. Of course, I don't like the word because it refers to a communistic statement, but Maxime Bernier is garnishing attention like crazy right now in Canada, Roger. I'm looking at the sites. I'm looking at the people that are doing polls on this guy, and Canadians are really starting to resonate what he is saying, because he basically, if I was to say he would be a Canadian edition of a Trump, that's exactly what I would classify Bernier as, because he's really calling out basically everything that's wrong in the country right now. And I know he's a politician, and I don't like supporting any politician, because I always feel there's an agenda going on behind the scenes. Much bigger than what we can see. But in the meantime, if anything, this man is drawing Canadians' attention to all the crap that's going on in our government. To say that my government is out of control, Roger, would be an understatement. We are the laughing stock of the world, and Justin Trudeau. We have got the long haired Matt Daddy, son of Satan. That's all. He's whatever you want him to be, whatever you want him to be, and that's it. You know, not a problem. I'll go to anywhere you want, dress up however you want, let me dance around and spend our money. And, well, what the other day, he just gave Pakistan Well, let me know. What was it? Palestine. $50 million of our money. Another $50 million. Just $50 million, folks. Don't worry about it. And you know what? The organization he gave it to in Pakistan, I went and looked at it today, and I cross-referenced it. And these people that $50 million of our money is going to directly support Hamas. Well, that's not a great idea, huh? And Hezbollah. Come on, guys. Wake up. This is what our government's doing. At least Trump isn't sending. He's taking money away from these.
I don't know about that. But anyway.
Leave all of that for now. But anyways, not going to get into Trudeau, okay? Let's talk about America, because America's in shambles right now.
No, absolutely. And, well, I don't know if you could say it's in shambles. It's not in shambles. What it is in is disarray. There's a big difference. Shambles would mean we can't protect ourselves, we can't take care of ourselves. No, because our societal safety net is still in place. Our military is still in place. What we're seeing is theater being presented to us in an intentionally overstated fashion in front of our face to keep us redirected and misdirected. The amount of attention that the Kavanaugh hearings got was absolutely phenomenal. How many people saw the up and coming big chunk? There were signals all over the place for a week up too, but all you saw was Kavanaugh. Okay, and then there goes the stock market. Now you see all of these ships moving into the South China Sea, and you see the swords crossing and clanking between China and the United States and Australia, so on and so forth. All of this is happening in the background. Now, I dare you to go to mainstream media and find out much about either one of those things, but during that same period of time, when you weren't finding out about the ships moving into the South Sea, when you weren't finding out about the economic, oops, what the hell's about to happen, when other things were happening, okay, all you got was Kavanaugh. And you got him at such a pitch, and you got him at such an intensity that it made your blood boil. And the first thing you did in the morning when you could was turn on that TV or that computer, and you sucked up all the new news for that day. It literally engrossed the nation, and it's exactly what it was supposed to do. They hoped to accomplish a few other things from it. They did hope to block him, but it would have been every bit as sensational, maybe even more sensational, and accomplished their exact goals just as well. This is what you're seeing in America. Now, where do we stand right now? All right, we're on the 40-yard line. We are 1 point down. There's 1 second on the clock, and the kicker's about to kick for a couple of points. That's where we are right now. That kick's going to take place in the midterm elections happening in about 3 weeks. If we lose the House or the Senate or both, the chances of seeing some sort of a revolution or, excuse me, a civil war in this country go up by 50%.
Yeah,
we maintain control of the Senate and the Congress or the House of Representatives. What you will see at that point is there's a lot of Republicans who, in the last couple of months, have all of a sudden found their balls. All of a sudden have found the fact that Trump maybe ain't so bad and we should probably be supporting him. Mm-hmm. You've got people like Mitch McConnell who had never, ever had a good word to say about Trump going around and heralding to the country, look, another promise he made, he just fulfilled. This is Mitch McConnell.
I know.
I would have said, you're insane. He didn't say that. So
look at the list of people that have been fired in the last 3, 4, 5 weeks, Roger. They're all scurrying.
This is what's happening, okay? If Trump maintains, and the Republicans maintain control over Congress, going into 2019, what you're going to see is an acceleration of what Trump promised when he came into office. He's already delivered on more promises in less than 2 years than any president in the history of this country. I'm not a Trump butt buddy. You know that. I know damn right well he had to be on his knees to get into this job. He never would have got it otherwise. But at the same time, we had two choices, Trump or hell with Hillary. And it would have been hell with Hillary.
Yeah, and you know, you see America going in the right direction, Roger, but then I always come back to that underlying thought of this is a ploy being played. He's a part. He's playing his part. And what the end game is, that's what kind of concerns me, because if we do see a state of martial law played in the United States of America, then you completely lose all your constitutional rights. You'll be at complete and total mercy of the government. And who's to say that somebody can't flip all of a sudden and say, hey, what? Guess what? I changed my mind. We're going to go this way. And what repercussion or what ability to stand against that would we have? We lose it all. And of course, if America was to just take the martial law, you're going to see it ripple right across the border here into Canada. If you don't think Trudeau is in Trump's gun sights right now, then you ain't following what's going on with Trudeau, because Trump probably figures right now Trudeau is the biggest threat to the United States going, period, because of what he's doing up here.
Trump, I'm going to tell you right now, Trump is not going to have an issue, because there have been conservatives out there saying over and over again that Trump is going to have to, at some point in time, declare martial law. He's going to have no choice. And he's going to be looking for every conservative, every patriot, every Republican to back him up, to help in the communities, to help in the neighborhoods, to help your neighbors. Okay? You, again, Trump does know this. He's going to have to make a contract with these people. They're going to have to be convinced that he is doing this for, and most people already believe that, for the good of the people, and that he will relinquish, okay, all power and not step back down to being president, leave the presidency as soon as martial law is no longer required, and there will be a set amount of time on that. Now, why do I think that he would take us seriously when we state that's the only way we'll support you? I already mentioned this several times. There is no nation on the planet that even comes close to the 500 million guns in private hands in this country. The only reason the elites haven't stepped in and itch-based slapped us all back to reality is the fact that there are about 500 million guns in private hands in this country. Why do you think the liberals are desperately trying to get us to turn our guns in? Why do you think the massive amount of gun false flags? Why do you think a society with 500 million guns is extremely hard to take over by force? A society like China or like Soviet Union, like Cuba, when their leaders said, turn all of your guns in, and then they started killing, like in China, what, 20, 30 million people?
Well, then you wonder why in Canada here, the Liberal government's about to introduce legislation to ban handguns and assault rifles in Canada. That's going to be put up next week. And boy, you want to hear some backlash come from the Canadian people. Well, yeah, they're going to introduce this legislation next week. So it all plays into the same end game, Roger. They want to disarm us. Once a civilization disarmed, it's easy to take down. Look what happened in you can look at examples of that all through history, where a society's been disarmed, and, of course, the government turns on them. So we got to keep our guns. But you know what, Roger? A lot of times I figure, well, you know what? We talked about this many, many times. They have little toys put away for the set time in history. I believe that. And their technology, we've said this many times, and you know this, and I know this, that their technology is 20 or 30 years ahead of what they allow us to know.
No,
and
it's
who's
not
to say? I believe it is, Roger. I believe
no,
they have.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Because I
okay,
worked
well,
for
then tell me what. Yeah, I know you did. Okay, push back on that.
I worked for this government for many, many years, and the technology I saw, I worked in a technical field, and the technology I saw, you are absolutely right, was as much as 20 years ahead of time. The flat screens, the plasma screens that everybody's using right now, I saw those in the 1980s, okay? So this part, you're absolutely right, okay? The actual technology, and I don't want to go off onto this because, like you say, it's way too easy to get off on a sidetrack here. The actual technology that is available to levels above DARPA, and DARPA is supposed to be the biggest secret on military weapons and technology, DARPA, okay? It actually goes much higher than that. And the technology we're talking about are things like particle beams. We're talking about the ability to negate gravity, anti-gravity. We're talking about – and I constantly tell people we have a technology that most people don't understand. It is so simple. It's throwing rocks. We have a technology. It's as simple as throwing rocks that can destroy about any city on the planet with zero radiation. Rods from God. Big tungsten rods that are dropped with a little boost from a space station. And as they hit the atmosphere, this is a big tungsten rod. It picks up massive speed. When that tungsten rod, the kinetic energy it imparts when it hits the ground is like, well, it's much bigger than the original atomic explosions in Japan. Mm. So all of this exists. That technology is there. Do I honestly believe that? I honestly believe that we have been a lot further from this planet than, and we won't go there, Barry, I won't embarrass you, than most people would dare to say. And there are really good reasons why I say that. But the technology, if they show it to us, I know you've heard of this, Barry. I know you've heard of this. That the next big, huge false flag that would absolutely wreak havoc on this country is going to be a false flag extraterrestrial attack on planet Earth centered on the United States.
Well, I can see that coming. I mean, look at what they can do with holographic technology now, Roger. I mean, they can make things appear that aren't there, and they can do it to great deals of intricacy now. I'm looking at some of the hologram technology they have. It's unbelievable. So, yeah, I can see that being a possibility.
So, yeah, most people believe that when you watch Star Trek, okay, literally, when you watch Star Trek, there is very little that you will see on there that is not at least in the rough stages of reality. Very little. So the technology can't be shown to us because then they've got to share it with us. If it's known that it's a reality, then the public will clamor. And until they succeed in deleting 95% of us, as George Guidestone say, then we pretty much have to be placated because there's 7.5 billion of us. So we don't know a lot of things, and maybe they feel that it's for our own good because we're incapable of understanding the bigger picture. And we're only incapable of understanding the bigger picture because of their GMOs, their vaccines, their pharmaceuticals, their geoengineering, and need I go on. This is what's happening to humanity. Humanity is dying. Take a look at the reduced fertility across the planet. Take a look at the rise in not only infertility, but the rise in chronic diseases across the planet. Take a look and see what's happening. And then take a look at the United States, because we have it much worse. And they're all focused on the United States. We are the sickest nation on the planet. We're the most vaccinated, the most GMO'd, the most fluoridated, the most. So America, for all its stand up, beating its chest, saying I'm bigger and badder than anybody else, you got to understand, they know that. And we the people, are in the crosshairs.
Absolutely, Roger. Question for you. Who created Hamas?
Who created what?
Hamas.
Hamas?
Hamas. Who created that organization?
I would tell you that's a sticky price, okay, because that could go all the way back to politics from the original skirmishes in the Middle East, and it could. I don't know if the question should be who made Hamas what they are today, because that's a whole different question.
Right.
And that is whoever stood to gain by giving them money and weapons and intelligence, whoever stood to gain. And I would tell you that vast majority of the time, it was the leaders of the Western world.
The banking cartel, who stands to make billions of dollars off any war. Of course, we know they're on both sides. Yeah, of course, of course. Yeah. Okay, just a question for you. Getting back to what we were talking about, though, Roger. Yeah, we haven't even touched on weather events and geological events that are going on our planet right now. And it's funny how that we're seeing such a rise in all this other activity that seems to be negative to the human race. And combine that with geological events I'm watching right now, we're not talking 100-year floods anymore, Roger, being a common occurrence on the planet. We're talking 1,000-year floods now that seem to be happening all over the world. We're seeing weather increase in power and strength like we, I mean, I'm looking at, you know, a lot, we get a little bit of pushback against this on hurricane records, but there is definitely a rise in earthquake activity right now, unprecedented in our recorded time. We're seeing volcanoes become active all over the world right now. What do you think about all this? What's going on out there? Is the earth just pissed and ready to kick us back? I think she is.
Well, you know what? Again, we go back to what are we going to be told, okay? Unless I have a 15 or a 20-inch refractor telescope, you know, in a big dome in my backyard, finding really good answers to some of these questions are a little bit more difficult than most people believe, okay? We've got Nibiru. We've got Planet X. We've got what would happen if a planet on a 36 or, excuse me, a brown dwarf with a system of planets came racing through the solar system every 36 or, what is it, 2400 or 3600 years, something like, I believe it's 3600 years. Yeah. It would wreak havoc on the gravity of, and it may even cause perturbations in the orbits of the planets within the system. Because in order to be a brown dwarf, you got to be pretty goddamn big. So we're talking something that's Jupiter size or maybe even bigger. So this is something that could happen. Is it happening? Well, you could go online and find as many websites that say Nibiru is a bunch of junk as you will find sites that say it's not only real, but this is why it's real. If that's the case, my only question out there, and yes, there could be several reasons for the changes we're seeing, but for everybody out there, for all of this we're seeing and for all of this everybody is saying is happening, Barry, where do you think the world is right now? What would you call it?
that's a good question. I do know, though, Roger, that in geological time of the planet, that the planet has experienced massive earthquake swarms. The Earth has experienced complete coverage by ice. We've seen periods in geological time of the Earth where the Earth was really, really hot. I believe what's going on right now is just a natural geological a sequence of events, but it's kind of ironic that it all seems to be happening at this particular period in time, unless, of course, you kind of follow the Bible and Revelations like I do a lot, and it all talks about exactly what we're seeing right now, but we're not going to get into that subject. But we do see an incredible correlation of events. If we look at rumors of war around the planet, we look at the Earth, the seas right now dying and giving up their dead, and it's happening worldwide, guys. I mean, I look at reports, and it makes me cry when I see all these animals that are dying and are at the bottom of our ocean. When you talk about our biosphere, Roger, well, you know, our biosphere is under attack. We as a species are being exterminated. And
because
why aren't people,
yes.
Because, well, there's multiple things that are attacking us. And it astounds me that people can go about their lives and not realize that this is happening around them right now, and that we're the generation that really have to deal with it. If we don't put a stop to this craziness, our kids are really going to curse us, Roger. Go ahead.
As usual, you make sterling points, but you don't go as far as I think you just need to push it just a little bit further, okay? We're looking at all of this stuff coming down from the sky, and we're breathing it, okay? We're looking at weather fronts that the weatherman says are going to hit your town, and then you see a little spraying, and the next thing you know, the entire front moves north, okay? We're looking at the impact across this planet of not only what you are correct at, there is a cycle of geological change in the planet. Yes, and that's one of the, I said there are other things we can attribute this to, but at the same time, what we're seeing is an exacerbation of the whole biosphere on this planet. And a lot of this is attributed or can be attributed to geoengineering. You don't go in and change a jet stream. You don't go in and change the path of a major storm. When you do this with a major storm, we're talking about something that's over 1,000 miles wide. When you've done this, you have altered the weather of the entire hemisphere, whether it's the northern or the southern hemisphere. You've altered the entire hemisphere's weather. It might only be a small amount when you get all the way to the other side of the planet, but it has happened. Now, what we're seeing is the creation of drought, massive drought, ongoing drought in California because they want people to move out of California. Anybody who doesn't think that this is a man-made drought and man-made fires in California is a moron. So, all right, we're doing this. What is this? This is weather modification. Massive. Okay, what is it doing to the biosphere? Look at California. Look at the tree die-offs in California. The tree die-offs on the western coast of Canada. Just look at this and see what's happening. Okay? So when you understand that all of the things that these people are screaming about, climate change, they are absolutely right. What they're wrong at is what's causing it. What's causing it is these big idiots out there who stand to gain by either weather wars or by denying people things using weather so that they can have an advantage. This is massive, and that is the climate change people should be talking about.
Mm. There's multiple. I agree, Roger. Man is impacting the environment and weather. And I've looked into HARP. I haven't been able to study that as much as I'd like to.
But that's
a deep subject. That's a deep subject to get into.
Yeah.
But yeah, but it does seem like, you know, our world is controlled by the sun. And right now, I've looked at multiple reports. So I'm going to get on this real quick before the show is over.
Yeah.
But as far as I can understand, Roger, we are going into a solar minimum.
Yes.
What's your thoughts on that? We got about 3 minutes left.
Oh, think of it as a solar minimum. Actually, you know, you might cool off a little bit. You don't get hit by as many bad solar rays. You know, the X-rays, we need to understand that our upper level of our atmosphere, including the ozone layers, have been severely damaged. And part of that, we harken back to HARP, but we'll talk about that another time. If we sit here with the ultraviolet light and all of the other things raining down upon us, solar minimum is going to be much calm, much kinder to you and me than solar max would be.
Okay. Well, look, but you know what, Roger, it's always great having you in. Why don't you tell people where they can find you real quick, because we're going to shut out this first hour in about a minute from now.
Okay. Well, I am the founder and the managing director of the Liberty Beacon Project. Our flagship website is thelibertybeacon.com. A couple of our sister sites or our other websites are thefallingdarkness.com, europereloaded.com, and tlbtv.com, where we put our weekly TV shows. And Barry, it's always fun to have a conversation with you because you let me talk.
Well, we'll do it again real soon, Roger. I just found my list of things I wanted to ask you today, and we didn't even get into the list. But next time we do a show, I think we're going to have to do a couple hours because 1 hour doesn't seem to cut enough time for us even to get into a few things I wanted to talk with you today about. Always a pleasure having you on, Roger, and look forward to our next conversation. Thanks for taking time to join me today, bud.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, so I'm going to be up next hour with Duke Willis and Mike, I hope I've pronounced his name right, Treherne, two great Canadian patriots that we're going to get into a conversation about some of the absolute craziness going on in Canada. Please stick around, and thanks again, Roger, and I'll be back in about 3-4 minutes. Well, welcome back to second hour, guys. Thanks for hanging around, and I've got a whole pile of people in here right now. I've got Duke Williams in here. I've got Billy Joyce in here. I've got Mike, I believe Mike Treherne's in here right now. I don't know who else is in here right now. There's a pile of us in here, but these are all great Canadian patriots, guys. And I'm going to just let these guys share with you what's on the top of their mind for pet peeves right now.
Mike just popped in, Barry.
Our great Canadian government. I'm going to start with Duke real quick, and then I'm going to pass the stick around and let everybody have a quick say hello and introduce yourself, guys.
Please. Thanks, Barry. I hope you, hope you're having a good season.
I'm having a great day. Let's go. Let's get this going, guys.
Yeah, Mike, we can hear you, brother. My pet peeve with the government, Mike Treherne's going to hate to hear this, but my pet peeve with the government is, dear Mr. Max playing the savior at the guardrail of the sinking Titanic.
Okay.
Politics isn't going to save Canada from where we're going. Politics is what got us here.
Okay.
Next,
Mike, I'm going to let you say hello to people. Welcome to the show. We got him. Okay, well, Billy Joyce, welcome to the show. What's on your mind, buddy?
Thanks for having me. Well, what used to be on my mind was the fact that we may have a chance of doing something in 2019 without resorting to violence. But from what Duke just said, I'm not sure if that's going to be possible. What's on my mind? I've got too many things on my mind as far as our government goes. The fact that we don't really have a government for the people. It's a government that's there for the lobbyist groups, either the various cartels that exist, or maybe the 87 richest families of Canada that own 90% of our wealth. The 87 richest families in Canada are richer than, I think it's three provinces, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, and Newfoundland combined.
Mm.
No, not Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, PEI, and Newfoundland combined. Yeah. So I'm sick of our politicians and our government pandering to those 87 families.
The top 50% of wealth in Canada is owned by 10% of the population.
Yeah, well, you know, those numbers seem to be going up. We're seeing a great divide getting even bigger in as far as the middle class and the lower classes in Canada and the upper classes. But getting back to Bernier, let's talk about him just for a couple of minutes here, Duke. Because, you know, I'm sitting here watching this situation unravel in Canada right now. And whether you like what's going on or not, the bright side of this, I believe, is going to be the fact that we have two positive conservative voices, not one that I agree with at all. I wouldn't say Scheer is a positive conservative voice in any shape or form, but he still represents conservatism. But we have another conservative voice coming out, and I've listened to what the man has said, and I'm looking at his platform. And, you know, me, I don't like politicians. I don't like getting behind any politician because there's always an underlying play being played on people. And we have to decide whether this is happening with Maxime Bernier or if the guy's for real. What I'm seeing right now is a lot of attention to what he's saying, because everything he's saying is resonating with Kennedy. He's hitting the problems right on the nose. So we have to ask ourselves, is this just a giant ploy, or are we going to see a legitimate conservative voice rise in Canada? We look what just happened in Quebec. We look what happened in Ontario in the last provincial election. We see a conservative wave rising in Canada, and this guy is resonating with what's going on. So the big question, I guess, would be, is this a ploy? Are we all being played, or is this guy for real? Are we going to see a Trump-style event happen in Canada where people are to a point where they want to break, because our country is in trouble, and people are starting to realize just how much trouble our country is in? You look at numbers in polls right now, and Maxime Bernier is garnishing a lot of attention. What are your thoughts there, Mr. Billy Joyce? And then I'll let Duke get back in on that one.
Well, I'll be perfectly honest. I did a YouTube video on this not that long ago. I think my last YouTube video was just on that. I was reading through Bernier's, it was a graph that showed the difference between the People's Party of Canada, the Liberal Party, the Conservative Party, and the NDP on different topics. And mm-hmm. where each party stood on each topic. And what I realized was that the People's Party of Canada wants to do something different on every single one of those topics, whereas the Liberal Party, the Conservatives, and the NDP either want to keep it the way it is, or there isn't really much change there. I mean, it ranges on everything from equalization payments to provinces, all the way down to gun control and the Constitution. And he's got, I think, seven different things he wants to do with taxes as well. So, mm-hmm. and I get Duke's concern, because Bernier is a career politician. But I will say that I prefer repentant career politician over a politician that just does what every other politician does.
Yeah, I kind of like, I'm going to let you say it and get in here right now, Duke, but I kind of look at what happened in America. Sure, you know, you had Trump and Clinton. Well, where would America be right now if Clinton had got in? You know, there was the worst of two evils. Go ahead, Duke, throw in your comment on that. Let me hear what you have to say.
Okay, well, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. First of all, let's look at this in the two distinct facets of the same diamond, okay? One is a purely political perspective, okay? From a political standpoint, I think Max Bernier and the PPC is the greatest thing to happen to Canadian politics in my half century of being on this planet. I honestly do. I've read his platforms, abolish the CRTC,
mm-hmm.
okay? Reduce government. Get government out of every little facet of our lives. I fully support that. In fact, Maxime Bernier's, the PPC party's platform, is so close to old school 1950s libertarian grassroots conservatism, mm-hmm. not what we see as the progressive conservatives, original old school conservatism.
Real conservative.
Yes, mm-hmm. Mike, exactly. That's what I see in the PPC. That's the political perspective. And if all I had to worry about walking the streets of my cities in Canada, that I would say, great, embrace Maxime Bernier like a luscious woman, okay? But the reality of today's Canada, we have a segment of our society, followers of an ideology, who are perpetrating both violent and nonviolent social warfare against the people of Canada. You cannot deny that that is happening. Mm-hmm. Our laws, our politicians, and our culture are being attacked, mm-hmm. along with our citizens. No new laws, no new politicians are suddenly going to make the perpetrators of those acts stand up and say, oh, I didn't know it was against the law to shoot 10-year-olds on Danforth Avenue. That's
Mike.
The perspectives I have to look at.
Okay. Mike, you joined us now.
I have.
Okay, what are your thoughts on this? And I'll get back to Billy.
Were we talking? I didn't really hear. I just kind of clicked in. Now I realize that my speaker was shut off on the computer. I wonder I couldn't get through. But anyway, so I think we're talking about Maxime Bernier and our politics of Canada, basically, and how Maxime fits into the mix.
Exactly. Go ahead. Okay, well, your thoughts.
I think it rolls down to something simple, and I'll just start off with something light with it, and then I'll carry on into the conversation as we start to talk. But I will say this, that Maxime Bernier was the furthest right member of the Conservative Party that Canada had. And he had a 49% accuracy rate on his membership as far as being the runner-up to winning the Conservative race. Mm-hmm. He campaigned on things that were about immigration and certain types of immigration and gun laws and everything that Canada really wanted to hear and talk about. And he seems to be staying on the same trend and as well, uniting with proper groups in Canada like Quebec's winning. And, you know, we need Max as a leader because, you know, he would be the first guy like a Trump, as was mentioned, as I heard, as a Xi, as a Putin, or, you know, I mean, we can go on and on. I mean, anything to do with Poland or the Czech Republic, Greece, Italy, the measure that Duke had mentioned about what's going on that's uncomfortable for our people and Western culture. And Max is one that's going to jump on board with that, with trade with U.S. not being an enemy. Possibly, I know Ukrainians out there are going to get mad at us, but you know what? When you come here to this country as a Canadian and your kids are third and fourth generation Canadian, then you represent yourself here with Canadians. Our messages out to certain countries that we don't get in touch with is based on how their government's doing and how it gets along with us. And we've always shunned Russia, although we broke the Iron Curtain through a hockey game. We were the country that did that. So, and times have changed. Max will get on side and on board with proper trade. He's a real conservative. So, he's going to obviously lower taxes or try to, or at least do something that gives us a benefit, and he's going to continue to fight his way to the top. A few times people have asked me this, and I'll stop on it. Mike, I want to hear everything he's going to do before I even start to think about him. Well, that's just not the way the campaigning and the marketing of politics goes. And we have to gradually bring it along and bring it on strong in the latter part so that nobody forgets what we're voting for. So I think Maxime Bernier is definitely the pick for Canada. He's the most right wing we have. But he's, and of course the Libertarian Party not being anything to do with liberal. I don't know where anybody's getting that from. But they're wrong. They don't understand what it is, and so that they don't look silly.
Yeah, libertarian and liberal are two very different animals.
extremely the other side. It's an oxymoron to think they're the same.
Yeah, exactly. Well, just the fact that Andrew Scheer, I mean, like him or not, the rebel media is putting information to Canadians that you're not going to hear on any mainstream Canadian broadcasting network. And Andrew Scheer completely ignored them, won't appear on the station. But Maxime Bernier did an hour with Ezra Levant, and I went and watched that hour interview. And Ezra put some really hard questions to the gentleman, and I liked his answers. Right now, what I see going on in Canada, he is the only logical choice. We can't change the system overnight, but right now in Canada, he is actually somebody that really is starting to resonate with Canadians, because he's, what I hear coming out of the guy, like I said, I always believe that there's an underlying ploy going on in politics. I just have to stay off the side of the box a little bit when I say that, but in this mouthful, I see a man that is really kind of hitting the nail on the head as far as the problems going in Canada. I looked at his platform and what Mike just talked about. I looked at all those comparisons between him and the other established political parties in Canada. And I, like Duke said, I think this is the best thing that's ever going to happen in Canada. And if anything, it stops the Liberals from getting a majority. And if they were to maintain a minority, I could live with that in the next election period. But a majority will kill Canada. Go ahead. I'm going to let Billy get his thoughts in on that, and then I'll pass it over to Duke again. We'll go around the table, okay, guys?
Yeah. Well, I have a question. I haven't been fervently following Canadian politics my entire life, but when's the last time anyone heard a prime minister or a candidate for prime minister say, the United Nations is a useless joke?
Exactly. That really hit home with me, I'll tell you, Billy. I'll tell you. Best thing I've ever heard. And if this is going to abolish our connection to the UN, boy, I'll tell you, I'd be going on all my radio shows and going, look, folks, this guy, if he does this, boy, oh, boy. Go ahead, Billy, go ahead. I'm going to stop.
there's that. I mean, he's even, I don't know if he did. I mean, I looked through his platform. I'll be honest, I didn't read every single last word and comb through it with a fine comb, but he allowed the graph that I referenced in my last video. He allowed that on his Twitter feed, and it's still there. And on that graph, he talks about deporting illegal immigrants. He talks about deporting all the illegals that have come along. I mean, this is a guy that has come out and apologized for bailing out Bombardier. And he apologized for being in favor of the Paris Accord. He's bashing the Paris Accord. He's bashing the Trans-Pacific Partnership. By the way,
for those who don't know, sorry, Billy, don't mean to interrupt, but for those who don't know, the Paris Accord is the birth of our carbon tax.
Right. Exactly.
Climate change.
It is. That's what it is.
So
Andrew Scheer, and Andrew Scheer failed out of the gate. His very first question, he supported it after he had campaigned with every conservative of the 19 of them from the start. No carbon tax.
Yeah.
He's failed. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt and open a floodgate. Sorry, here. Billy. That's what you were saying, Billy.
We've talked before, Billy, but I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to add that yes, I think our panel's in full agreement that Andrew Scheer has failed out of the box and failed at everything that he's been challenged on, every single thing. There's nothing that he has done about what he campaigned on. Nothing.
Andrew Scheer is a Trudeau light.
he's just another head on the same snake, guys. And Canadians are starting to see that. It's a watered down version of a liberal.
I'm glad we're not on cam because I'm doing a little happy dance that would embarrass the hell out of me.
There's a friend of mine from Scotland. I'm not sure. Are we allowed to say certain words?
We try not to swear on the station, but if it slips out once in a while, I'll forgive you, okay?
You can probably use the George Carlin seven words.
You could probably fill in the blank anyway. It's there are two cheeks of the same. I won't
finish. Yes.
Okay, that's fine. That wasn't too bad. Go ahead, Duke. I'll let you talk. I'm going to just keep passing around. You guys are going to just kill this hour real quick. But Duke. I'm having fun, guys, because you know what? It's really good to be in here with three other Canadians that really understand what's going on. And I'm enjoying this talk. Go ahead, Duke. And then I'm going to give it back to Mike, and then I'm going to pass it over to Billy again.
A lot of people tell me I am so pessimistic about where things are going. On the other hand, I am incredibly optimistic about the potential of what we as Canadians, informed, intelligent, and educated Canadians, can create out of the ashes that are left from where we're going to go between now and that time.
I definitely agree with that.
And I think Maxime Bernier is laying the foundation for something that will be very beneficial when the time comes for us and the United States to rebuild their political system from the grassroots, the ground up. Canada has never had a government designed, built, and empowered, controlled by the people. In the United States, they have a government that they designed. To quote Ben Franklin, we gave you a republic. Here in Canada, we have a government that was forced on us by a foreign monarchy. Not a government that we the people, as you like to use in your video the other night, Billy, we the people of Canada have yet to sit down and say, this is the style of government that we want, and we want laws that hold our elected officials accountable to us that do not exist in our today's government. There is no law that holds our politicians accountable, responsible to the electorate, you and I.
Mike, are you still with us?
Absolutely, 100% agree there, Duke. And I can't see how anybody would think in your first quote that you would be that way of any of us. So I just wanted to say that, yes, you definitely look from both sides. Look, Canada's in a position of right now governments around the world that are binding together for many reasons. We don't have time to get into all of them, but there's many reasons. But the primary reason is we're the last stand of Western culture before a final attack on the U.S. and boxing them in. So I think that we need to look towards those things. We have to look at some other things that are going on, too. But again, those are other shows that we should talk about those things. But politically, we need to get on the side of the world that's standing off against a threat that isn't healthy. And Russia has, you know, started nuclear testing, and, you know, Russia's getting angry. And we don't need Russia angry. We really don't need Russia angry because he'll start to, you know, cause issues, and he's really strong. So
who is Russia angry at?
Russia's angry at the world. He's built a democracy. Like I said, with our parents, we don't agree with politics, and his dad was a communist, and hold on, and he was leader of the KGB, and you know, things changed, and he didn't agree.
Okay.
Strength, and he's trying to get the attention of everybody to, you know, I know he's allies with Iran, and we talk about his allies in the Middle East. Just a minute, though, Duke. Where he's connected to that land. He's not like us. He's not overseas. He's connected. They're connected to his piece of ground. So, and Trump has now gone with the new deal with Iran, as we all know, of recent, and it's creating tension. So
what new deal?
The deal
with Iran. Trump is and always has been anti-Iran. He was against Iran getting uranium. He's against any kind of deals with Iran. Let's just back up. Before we get into Iran, I have a question regarding Russia.
Yeah.
If you were Putin,
yeah,
and you were sitting back and you were looking at two big posters on the wall, one said USA, one said NWO. Which one of those two posters is the biggest threat to your country? The biggest threat.
Well, we know the answer to that, but
no, I want to hear it, Mike. I want to hear the answer because
I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be honest. I don't think it's a fair question because right now his alignment with Russia is as an ally to Iran. So Trump,
no,
just a minute.
It is a very fair question because the New World Order is representative. It's manifested in the UN.
I understand the yes, because it's a leader territory.
So who's the big threat to Russia? It's a
Let me finish. I know I rile you up over this conversation, and we've talked about it many times. I really know that you really want Russia and the U.S. together and just go out there and kick ass on the world. I understand that you're wanting to do that. And I think that many parts of the world are wanting Russia and the U.S. and China and, you know, settler differences and Japan. And, you know, we could go on and on, but there's not a lot of time about all of it. But that, Duke, is not going to happen. They rule two different ends of the world. They're both powerful entities. Should they be together? Yes. Do I think there's an onslaught of discussion that will eventually happen? Yes, but there's going to be some things that happen first. And Russia's going to stay pretty clean with whoever's sitting on his border, and because he doesn't have commitment from Trump. There's no commitment there. And now they're throwing another, you know, apple out there off the cart, and well, what you just discussed. So it's The discussions aren't the way you think they're going.
So
they're
when
not.
Are you running for office, Mike? Because you now skated six different ways around that answer without answering it.
I would pick USA, but
Billy, am I wrong? Has he gone six ways around that answer without answering it?
I'm staying right at it. All I know is the doomsday clock is under two minutes.
I would never pick the New World Order. Of course I wouldn't. But you know what? I know.
Threat to everyone in the world, my friend.
Of course they are. So I'm not agreeing with you, disagreeing with you, Duke. What I'm saying is you asked me about Russia and the USA or New World Order. Of course not New World Order, but it's not so easy as just saying we'll go with the USA.
I think Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump are getting along just fine, and they're probably in on.
I agree, Billy.
I think they're probably in on the greatest political chess match that's ever been played on this planet.
Bingo.
I think I tend to agree with that, but who knows what's really going on behind this?
It's quite all right. I mean, I think that eventually that's going to happen. Some other things are going to happen in the meantime. That's all.
Boy, did that conversation ever get carried away? How did we get into Russia?
I have to look at it globally. I can't look at it on hopefully they will. We have to settle some things before that happens. That's all.
I guess It just demonstrates how intertwined we are as, when you look at free trade going back 30, 40 years now, the world is interconnected like it's never been. And things that happen in Russia and things that happen in Germany and things that happen in France affect what goes on in Canada and the U.S. and Mexico and on this side of the Atlantic or this side of the Pacific, depending on where you're at. And I really think the election of President Trump and the whole Brexit and the election in Italy and what we just saw happen in Quebec and what we saw happen in New Brunswick and what we saw happen in Ontario and what I think we're going to see happen in 2019, I think we're going to see either Scheer or Bernier become prime minister with the other, either the People's Party or the Conservative Party, as official opposition.
I hope Scheer does not win. I do not.
Oh, I really hope it does. I hope
that chance. I'm not sold on him. He threw me out of the party. I was a member that voted on the Maxime Bernier side.
No, so, but I'm just telling you what I think will happen. Emotions aside, what I'd like to see is Bernier form a minority or a majority, but preferably a majority. But I think a minority is always a better system of government, especially if you can get another right leaning party as the official opposition, because then you're going to get conservative things passed with still that liberal center left leaning perspective coming from the progressive conservatives.
Can I just say one thing on that, just real quick?
No, you can't.
I haven't got fair moments. Listen, guys, Alberta's going conservative too. So when you have all those provinces that go conservative in the provinces, obviously the federal election is going to go conservative, and people are voting. So everyone's awake. We're aware of what's happening around for different reasons, but everybody's awake. We are voting. That's good.
I just hope that people could take enough time to look at what exactly Andrew Scheer represents and what Maxime Bernier represents. And if people in Canada can take a couple hours and really look at it hard, I think you'll see Maxime Bernier pull off a Trump-style event in Canada. And that would be a good thing for us, folks. I don't care what you have to say about politics, what you have to say about what's going on. I mean, the way I see it, we have no other choice right now. Scheer is just as much of a left-leaning person, Justin, and right-leaning
person. The word is globalist.
He's a globalist, guys. Well, look at what happened when the conservatives held their election of their leader. I mean, it went to 17 polls. And it was, what, less than a point between him and Bernier? You don't think that was rigged, guys? Come on.
Bernier won it. Anyway, it was even, look, at, he even wanted a recount the next morning. It went right off the air right away. It got hushed out.
Yeah, the information was destroyed. Yeah, I know. The ballots were destroyed. What are you talking about? We want a recount when it's that close. That wasn't given to Bernier. It was set up. We know who's pulling the strings behind the curtains.
I have four words that can answer all the questions that you're raising. Those four words are suit and tie executives. Mm-hmm. Bernier doesn't run the party.
That's three words.
Scheer doesn't.
Oh, and I guess.
Yes. Suit and tie executives. Stop smoking that BC weed, Traherne. It's really starting to get the stick cheap Alberta crap. You know, painted with bitumen, that sort of stuff, right?
At the end of the day, no matter what, you know, we hear things, and I just want to really get this one in because I've been saying it a lot since the day it happened. And I knew that this split vote chat around Facebook and around the country, it's all just going to split the vote and take Scheer out and blah, blah, blah. You know what? Scheer split the vote himself when he threw us out the door.
Exactly. Exactly.
Let's keep that clear. So Max needs to win 2% of a riding. He'll beat Scheer. It's not a real – this is not a difficult chore or as difficult as you think.
Here's a story thought for everybody. I love being the devil's advocate in case none of you have caught on. So here's something.
Not you, dude. Not you, dude. Sorry, I swear there. So, you know,
I'm sitting here rubbing my hands together, generating a little fireball to fling out to the East Coast at my buddy Billy, because I'm going to pick on you.
Fire away.
Let's assume the same thing happens federally that's happened everywhere else, and the liberals get the boot. Maxime Bernier and Mr. Jellyfish Scheer form a conservative majority government.
Yeah.
Guess who that puts as the second man in charge in our government, the leader of the official opposition?
I don't know. Siding with the NDP? I'm not sure. Sorry, just a question.
I'm not siding with anyone. I'm saying if you eliminate the liberals and both conservative parties form the government, who takes the seat as the leader of the official opposition? An internationally recognized, banned from the country of his birth due to his terrorist political beliefs, Mr. Jagmeet Singh.
When you look at the system of governance, they're not going to form one party prior to the election. So the only way that they band together to form a government, they wouldn't necessarily form a government together.
No, they wouldn't.
What would happen is you've got, if Scheer wins.
Yes.
Because with four parties, technically what, 30% of the vote could technically win?
Yeah. No, I envision Bernier with the majority of votes and Scheer stepping in to say, okay, we will support the PPC in order to form a coalition majority, right?
I was thinking about this the other day. Is our system is very similar to the state's electoral college. Because what we have here is it doesn't matter about the popular vote. Popular vote matters not. It's about coming out of provinces with the different ridings that you need to form a government. So, for example, here, Maxime Bernier is going to have to find someone that's going to be able to unseat Roger Kuzner, who's been an MP for 20 years, and where the big population base is in his hometown and surrounding areas. So you're going to have to find someone that's going to beat that guy to get one seat towards forming a government. So even if Bernier could get the majority in the sense of 30, let's say he gets 35%, then the conservatives come in with 30%, so a total of 65%. Well, yeah. They don't even have to form a government together. What you have there is Bernier as prime minister and the People's Party of Canada as the governing party with Andrew Scheer's conservatives as the opposition.
Exactly.
Listen,
they don't come together. Bernier doesn't even agree with the conservatives. He says they're left, and they are. He's the most extreme right. So, no, we need the balance. We need the extreme right in place. And it doesn't matter if he's got a slight majority or even a minority government that's extreme, which I would like not to see, but I'd like to see him get the majority, even if the official opposition is just, you know, very close to it. So we need that voice to keep the country strong because everything's gone left completely.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Hey, I'm going to interject one question here from chat that's been asked. Here's the question. If we reined in all the warmongers in the world and people were allowed to live in peace, would the immigration frictions that we see right now be eased? That was my question from chat.
People have the opportunity to live in peace now, and they choose not to. Case in point, Rihanga, how's it pronounced? Rihanga, where Hindus, Buddhists are being murdered. They live in peace, but they're being attacked by people who don't want to live in peace. Okay? There is good and evil in this world. The idea that can't we all just buy the world a Coke and teach the world to sing? Not everyone wants to drink Coke and not everyone wants to sing. And that's just reality, ladies and gentlemen. There's always going to be kids in the playground who want to wreck the sandcastle that you built in the sandbox just because they want to.
Can we have a question?
Mike, I'm going to let Mike answer that question. I'm going to pass that around real quick.
I have that question again because, you know, Duke sometimes gets going. I kind of lost track, but I was following you, Duke, and I agree with everything you said.
First, we'll just throw that out for a minute.
Sometimes we agree. You know, I just think that, you know, I'm really global, and sometimes I think naivety comes into
the question was about what if we just got rid of all the warmongers?
What was the person's name?
I'm not sure. Barry read it out of chat.
Yeah, it was just a question out of chat, just a random question.
I think his name was Carl. We'll never have ultimate peace on Earth, right? You know, to follow what Duke's saying. You know, we're always going to have, that bad bully. But I think that there's many factors that we have to look at outside of warmongers and just politics and what's happening around us. And everything's dangerous. So I think the last thing we want to do is drop bombs on the planet. But that would be the worst thing. I guess none of it would matter after that. But you'll always have some kind of opposition, yes, that's trying to be the dominant one in the world. And I'm really looking forward to this new order of how it will work, not the new world order, but there will be changes. There's no question. Everyone's kind of got a little problem of their own, and hopefully we can get it rectified. And years and years and years and years and decades and maybe as half a century of work will straighten it out, but it's far from over.
Mm. Billy, what do you think?
Well, in the grand scheme of things, as a Christian man, I believe the warmongers will only be completely gone on that day that the good Lord comes back.
Amen.
But on a worldly, more short-term level, I think President Trump is doing quite a bit to get rid of warmongers the world over. I mean, he may even come off as a warmonger, but I think it's peace through strength that he's demonstrating. You look at what's going on in North Korea, you look at the meeting he had with Putin, you look at the exercises that they stopped over the Korean Peninsula. I mean, just everything seems to have settled down. You don't hear as many wars. And then you've got that whole Q phenomenon that I'm not completely sold that there may not be something nefarious behind that. But I mean, a lot of the stuff that this Q person has done in 8chan has woken people up and forced us all to do a bit more research on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I can see, Trump is contrary to what I even speculated may happen prior to him being elected. He seems to be doing a lot of good across the entire planet. I mean, even Canada is starting to, Trudeau just imposed a 25% tariff on Chinese steel. One second, my dog is flipping out of your
I think he's looking after his dog. Duke, I'll pass it over to you. Billy's taking care of his animal.
Yeah, I had to go take care of my dog that I didn't want to get out. My daughters were getting home from playing outside, so he's a bit excited.
Continue on for a minute, Billy, and then I'm going to let Duke interject his thought there.
As far as the warmongers go, it's like I think a lot of the warmongers are hidden behind suits and ties. We always project warmongering on other countries.
Bingo, bingo, bingo.
But if some of the rumors I hear about Canadian involvement in some of the world's greatest atrocities, including 9/11, are true. Well, we've had our fair share of warmongers in power as well.
And dressed in suits.
And they're all from the conservative or liberal factions.
Well, we all know there's still an investigation going into the Uranium One scandal, and boy, there's some sure close ties to the Canadian government with that. I mean, a lot of this is going to start coming out. And,
well, Mike, can I make
the ripple? The ripple. Yeah, just let me finish this one thought. I mean, the ripple down effect in society is what I'm kind of really looking at right now, where it's all going. But go ahead, you interject your thought.
I would like to interject there because I talked a lot about the Uranium deal and looked at it a lot. And, you know, I do this with Conservative Party as far as the Harper administration, and we can hack it away as much as we would, but I'm just going to go on this one alone. When we were a Conservative member, a government, we had ties with Obama and Clinton at that time, and we sold Russia uranium through Uranium One, and we sent it to the Middle East, and we don't know where it went. My question always to government was, where did it go? And my second part was, did you arm someone to harm possibly an ally based on now's government and put our ally system worldwide in jeopardy?
It's just international act of terrorism.
We don't get an answer. I have to think the worst. What's the big secret?
Whose name is on one of those 50,000 sealed indictments?
One small nuclear bomb could ruin our day, man.
Oh, dude, that puts a big cramp in going to Timmy's.
Well, I'll tell you, if it does happen, I just hope I'm right underneath the blast, okay?
It's worse than waiting in line at Walmart this afternoon. A nuclear blast? Oh, yeah.
Earlier, guys, if you look at the doomsday clock right now, it's as close to midnight as it ever has been, even in the Cuban Missile Crisis in the 60s. It's that close right now.
It was at 3 minutes, I think, during the JFK.
They say between 2 minutes and 1 minute. They kind of got it at 90 seconds right now. I mean, Roger talked in the first hour of this about, and I went and had a quick look at it on the internet here because I wanted to make sure that what he was saying is true, that we're seeing the biggest buildup of U.S. and allied forces in the South China Sea, and we're seeing the same thing from China right now. So what's going on over there? You know, China is actually violating international laws by establishing these islands, and I think the international community is about some. That's a very, very volatile situation right now.
It is, and I bet you, listen, in the future, you're going to see China disagree with the U.S. They're going to try to screw them. I said that when they started getting good with each other, they're going to screw it. So let's just keep an eye on China. Let's not go on. Let's just wait and see.
Okay, yeah. I want Billy's input on this one because he's up on what's happening in the U.S. Billy watches the U.S. politics pretty tight, which is one of the reasons why I watch his videos, because he gives a real good Canadian perspective on U.S. politics, and he may have some input on this. China was just found to have supplied to the U.S., including military installation, computerized circuitry with chips implanted in the circuitry on motherboards, etc., that gathered information going through the system and transmitted it back to China. The U.S. just found this out, electronic spy equipment hardware within the hardware of the U.S. Navy's computer system. Keep that in mind when you see ships sailing into the China waters. Billy, your thoughts on that? Because like I say, you're up on the U.S. politics.
Well, and I speak to a lot of people through a program called Discord on a daily basis, and it's a group run by a Scottish gentleman, and there are people in there that have a lot of family inside the military that have relatively insider information. What I've been told is that President Trump was actually recruited by U.S. Marines, and I believe this Q guy has alluded to this as well. High-ranking generals in the Marine Corps and in the military, including Mattis, including General Dunford. And he was recruited to carry out what's going on right now. He's basically the front man for the taking down of a global network of I don't know what you'd call them. Some people would call them Illuminati. Some people call them Cabal. Some people call them New World Order. I mean, their symbols are everywhere. They're all over our parliament buildings in Canada. They're on the currency in the U.S. They're everywhere. Their symbols are everywhere.
Every central bank in the world is owned by them.
Right.
So they own every currency in the world.
So
bingo.
So while everyone is running Russia, 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 in reality, it's China, 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 China,
China, China.
So what I think is going on, I think is Putin's intelligence is working with American intelligence without the rest of the world knowing.
Ding, ding, ding.
And China is made up of two factions right now. There's the old communist regime and there's the new regime that wants to make China more of a capitalistic society. And that group realizes that the old regime was effing over the U.S. for decades and Canada. Now, Justin Trudeau putting that 25% tariff on Chinese steel is huge because when Trump came out and said that the steel tariffs and the aluminum tariffs were for national security reasons, our media kind of mocked it, our pundits kind of mocked it, our academics kind of mocked it, and no one really wanted to look into it. It's like when that incident with Saudi Arabia went on, when a supposed activist had been jailed, when in reality, if you went to the Saudi Arabian official Twitter feed, you could see what they were accusing that person of, and it was espionage.
Yeah. So
when it comes to Chinese steel, China was dumping steel through Canada to avoid U.S. tariffs. So because of the free trade agreement, Canada was dumping Chinese steel into the U.S., which the U.S. was then using on their military equipment. So yeah, that's a fucking, oh, sorry. So yeah, that's a national security risk.
Billy, you can talk like that in a couple hours on my YouTube channel.
Yeah, I apologize.
Hey, listen, we all will slip up once in a while, especially
now
when we
now you guys stuff see his, that we're his passionate brain about. Is so tied to this U.S. politics. It's why I watch his videos. Like, as much as we have Canadian politics, Billy has a Canadian perspective and look on a U.S. politics.
Which are completely two different governments altogether.
Yeah.
Not a conservative government. Completely different. Not even close to the same.
No. What I'm realizing is growing up in Canada, we're told that the U.S. is not transparent into the U.S. When in reality, their system is set up for full transparency. They managed to manipulate it over the last 100 years to have crooks on every side of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The basis of a republic government is probably one of the most representative forms of electoral government ever designed.
I agree.
But it is because of that, it is also the most susceptible to corruption.
Corruption, exactly.
Okay.
So get rid of the corruption and have an actual representation like that and the people, I would be down for it, dude, because their system is great. They have a system of checks and balances. We don't have anything like that in Canada. We're in a dictatorship right now.
We have been since 1792 under Lieutenant Governor John Graves Simcoe in a little town now called Niagara-on-the-Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I fall back to comparing the two styles of government. In 1776, the Americans sat down and said, these are the laws that we as the citizens of this country agree to abide by. These are the laws that we hold our government accountable to, and this is how the government will be constructed. Just like the blueprint for a warehouse or your home. Canada never did that. The Canadian people never sat down and said, we want this law that stops the government from doing this. Mm-hmm. To give you an idea of how corrupt and illegal our federal government is, twice in the last 30 years, our federal government has unconstitutionally and against international human rights used the military powers of a sovereign nation against the citizens of that sovereign nation. Twice our government has used Canadian military against natives in BC and in Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
And one time it was over cigarettes.
Yep. Okay. Well, you know what, Duke? We're down to the last 7 minutes here. I'm going to let Mike share a couple thoughts. I'm going to pass it over to Billy, and then we're probably going to be out of time, guys.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to add much.
It went fast.
Billy pretty headed up on the head of the nail there. I follow American politics all my life and myself as well, Billy. Canadian politics only came into the mix with me maybe in the last 3 or 4 years. And really strongly in the last, you know, three. But because, you know, I just thought, well, you know, it'll always sort of remain the same. And I guess I was just a bit naive and wasn't paying attention to it. But, you know, once we tuned in, you know, yeah, I mean, I don't really have much to add to any of it, actually.
Well, hey, thanks for joining us today, Mike. And I wish we had more time because my last conversation with you was very enlightening. Thanks for coming in.
And,
Billy, it's always, this is the second time I've had a chance to talk with you, but, I really enjoy your input and yeah, American politics, I follow them very, very closely. Probably maybe not as much as you, but I'm following what's going on down there very closely because what's going to happen down there is going to have a major impact in Canada. We're tied together, even though we don't think so, we're tied together in many, many different ways. And if we see, stuff really go crazy in the States, well, I can see it spilling over in Canada in many different ways. Billy, I'm going to get you to talk for a couple of minutes and also tell people where they can find you.
Well, first I'd like to thank you, Barry, for having me on the show. I'd like to thank Duke for everything he does. He helped me get on the show and, helped me with some technical stuff. Thanks to Mike. It was nice talking with you, Mike. You can, on YouTube, it's, just youtube.com/channel, www.youtube.com/C/Billy Joyce. And, you can find me there on Twitter. Just look for Billy Joyce. I believe it's Billy Joyce 1976 and, on Facebook, same thing, Billy Joyce. But just to say something before we do go, back to the Maxime Bernier and the political situation right now in Canada. Not only because Bernier, from what Bernier is saying already, it seems like he's what we call awake, but it seems like he's only partially awake. And I'm wondering if there's any way we could get a bug into his ear. Barry, I believe you said you spoke to him. And I wonder if he's just not informed. And if he was informed, maybe you would see this guy calling for things like a republic in Canada or a complete governmental reform. I know he wants to reduce government, but maybe if he was made aware of the history, maybe he just doesn't know. We take for granted these politicians know this stuff, but I think it's up to people like us as well to raise awareness and talk about it wherever we go, no matter how unpopular it makes us.
as I said earlier in the broadcast, guys, this is how it's got to go. Bernie is very aware, and he's very, very, very aware. And give him a chance to build his steam on his campaign. He can't give it to us all at once. Otherwise, we'll never keep the attention of the public. So it'll go away too fast. So let him build his momentum. Maxime Bernier is the most aware politician in this country, bar none. So, and he should be in the job. So he'll give you everything you want to see. Just we got to be a bit patient.
Yeah.
I agree with that statement wholeheartedly. It's really the only logical choice we have right now going forward. Duke, I'm going to let you share a last thought, and then I'm going to shut the show up, guys.
Last thought? Well, I short, hope the dude. Three of you, nice and short, just like my memory. What were we talking about?
Okay, no, well, it don't matter. You don't have to put in a last thought.
Let me light this, and my memory will come back to me. It'll be 1967 all over again. I just want to invite the three of you to come join me on my YouTube channel tonight at 9 o'clock Ontario time. Hopefully a couple of you can find the time to pop in and maybe we can carry on some of this conversation live on YouTube tonight. To close out, as pessimistic as I often sound about our Canadian government, as politicians go, I sincerely hope that Maxime Bernier can give the Canadian population the hope and the sense of future that they're going to need to get through what I know are going to be absolutely unbelievably tumultuous times in our society and in our country. We cannot purge the cancer that has infested us without bloodshed.
Good thought, Duke. You know what? This has been a really enjoyable 2 hours. I really enjoyed talking with Roger Landry in the first hour, and this second hour has been a lot of fun, guys. And we'll get together and do this again tonight, Duke, and I'll have you guys back on in the near future on this show. We went full circle today, and I want to thank my guests for joining me and taking time out of their day. We right now in Canada are absolutely at a pinnacle time in our history. What is going to happen here in the next little while is really going to shape the future for our children. What I see coming under the current regime is nothing I want for my children. What I see going on in my country right now, I want to see come to a stop. And yeah, we really only do have one logical choice. Any Canadian that's listening to me right now, like it or leave it, I honestly believe that Bernier is our only logical choice right now. And I hope that people do get behind this man. And I'm not one to support politicians because we know how they lie and how they manipulate people. But I honestly feel after two conversations myself, well, I've had two conversations with Maxime Bernier. He has promised me an interview on the air here. I'm waiting to hear back on that. But I got the feeling from the gentleman coming right from my heart, laying down on the table what I thought, what I saw going on in this country. I honestly felt that he was resonating with what I'm saying. So I'll leave it at that, guys. Right now, our country's in trouble. The whole world's in trouble. We see the same thing being played out all over this planet right now, the same agenda with different heads. And we must stop it if we want a future for our children. What's coming, I wouldn't wish on my worst enemies. But we can. We've got the numbers. We just have to get off our butts, grow a few testicles, and be men, and stand up to what we see coming. Because if we don't, guys, our children are really going to curse us. And I'll leave it at that today. Thanks a lot for joining me, guys. It's been great. Thanks again to my guests. Thanks to Steve, of course, for producing my shows. Thanks to PRR for giving me this platform to express our thoughts and bring these great guests to the show every week. I'll be back next week, guys. Same time, same place. Have a great week, and God bless you all. Bye for now.